doing for your life with that. Amen. Verse 11, please. But they did not believe the woman because their words seemed like nonsense to, because their words to them seemed like nonsense. And verse 12. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb, bending over. He saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Amen. So this act of Jesus rising from the tomb, when they went to the tomb and the tomb was empty, you know, that act in itself is why we celebrate Easter, right? The fact that he rose on the third day. So Good Friday, we just celebrated Good Friday this past Friday. That was the day that Jesus Christ actually died on the cross. It happened right around 6 o'clock in the evening. That was the day he actually died on the cross. By the morning, they had arrested him. So Thursday night was the Last Supper. By the morning time, they had arrested him. And by 6 o'clock in the evening, he was dead. But on the third day, he truly rose again. And this whole act, this whole thing he went through, this whole thing he experienced was for you and I. It was for our sins. It was for the sins we've done in the past. And it was for the sins we are going to do tomorrow. So he really did truly pay a debt for us. And it's important for us not to forget, you know, what he's done for us. As we are moving through our lives, as we're serving God, remember the true foundation and the true reason why we even have salvation is because of today. Amen. So our risen life service or today's message, you know, I know Easter is a day you celebrate with your family and things, so I won't keep you guys for long. But the title of today's short but powerful message is Christ is risen, we are forgiven. Amen. Christ is risen, we are forgiven. So I'm going to give us 7 types of people that Jesus forgave in the Bible. So Jesus forgave all of us, right? When he came back on this Sunday and he appeared to Mary and those women at the tomb site, you know, if you continue to read in the Bible, later on, he actually also appeared to the disciples. You see how the Bible says, if you go back to, I believe it's verse 10, it says that the woman went back to the men, to the 11 disciples and told them, verse 11, okay, I think it was verse 10. But it says that the woman went back to the 11 and they did not believe them. Why? Because their words seemed like nonsense to them. Yeah, they told this to the apostles. Because their words seemed like nonsense to them. The apostles didn't believe this experience. But if you continue to read in the Bible, later on that day, right in the evening time, the Bible actually says in the evening, all the apostles were together, the 11 minus Judas. And Jesus appeared to them. And when Jesus appeared to them, he actually left with them the Holy Spirit then. So many people think that the Holy Spirit was left with us in Acts on the day of Pentecost when people were speaking in tongues. But the Holy Spirit was really left with us here on Easter. The Bible says that when Jesus appeared to the apostles, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove. That took place on Easter as well. So it was a very important day for Christians all over the world. Christians, we believe in 2 things mainly. We believe that one, Jesus Christ came and died for our sins and rose again on the third day. And we also believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in God, the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, right? So these 3 things all took place this weekend. So it's a very important and a very spiritual weekend. It's a very spiritual day to remember. Amen. So 7 types of people or 7 people that Jesus forgave that we must also forgive. The first person that Jesus forgave that we must also forgive is God, right? Jesus forgave God. Matthew 26, verse 36. Jesus forgave God because Jesus did not want to go through this experience. Jesus himself did not want to get up and suffer what he was about to suffer. Matthew 26 and verse 36, it says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. Verse 37. He took Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Verse 38, sorrowful and troubled, like he was sad. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Verse 39, please. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. So he was praying here that this cup, This experience of going on the cross and dying and being humiliated and being ashamed. If you go back to verse 38, he said that his soul was overwhelmed to the point of death. He didn't, Jesus Christ as a human being, yeah, he wasn't perfect. As a human being, he also was overwhelmed. He also did not want to experience the experience of dying on the cross. And it says that his soul was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. That quote always sticks out to me. Verse 40, please. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Many people here feel as if this is the verse that justifies why, as a Christian, you must be able to pray for at least an hour. Like, if you are a born-again Christian and you cannot pray for 1 hour, it is like something is wrong with you, because Jesus said, couldn't you watch and pray with me for at least an hour? It's like an hour is the minimum. Like, couldn't you at least do an hour, right? So if you can't pray for an hour, this verse explains to us why, as Christians, our goal and our target should at least be an hour. Because to Jesus, this was just basic. It was the minimum. Verse 41. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is what he's telling Peter, James, and John. He's telling them, watch and pray, right? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Many of us fall into temptation because we're not praying and we're not watching. You know, recently I went through an experience where I was praying a lot. And I could tell that I was, you know, becoming more and more spiritual. I could tell I was growing and developing in Christ. And then something happened to me and I realized, you know, I had been praying. Definitely I had been praying, but I wasn't watching. I was just praying. And when you pray, you know, anything that you do out of habit, it can become routine. So when you are just praying, it's a part of your day. It's a part of your morning. You wake up, you brush your teeth, you pray. It's a part of your morning. But what you lose when you are not watching is you are not keeping your eyes open. You see, the Bible says that it is by our own desires that we are dragged away, right? So sometimes it is very important to be watchful as you are praying. Also be watchful. Put things in place to protect yourself and not allow yourself to fall easily. Amen. Verse 42, as we move. He went away a second time and prayed. So he prayed it three times in total. The second time he went away, my Father, if it is possible, the same prayer, let this cup be taken away from me. Unless I drink it, may your will be done. Amen. So Jesus Christ did not want to go through the experience of dying on the cross. He wanted to have it be passed away from him. He wanted to not experience what God had already said he was supposed to do. He didn't want to experience it, but he forgave God. Many of us are not able to forgive God when we fall, when we make the mistake. You know, I remember some time ago, someone asked me a question and said, you know, I was trying to actually speak to somebody about Christianity. I met someone, I was trying to talk to them about being a Christian. And they asked me a question. They said, you know, if there's really a God out there, and if God is really there, the person was telling me, you know, my mom has died, my dad has died, all my siblings have died, and it's just me. If there's truly a God out there, why has he allowed all these things to happen to me? And many of us go through these experiences. He wasn't able to receive what I was trying to tell him because his heart had become bitter. He knew that there was a God out there, but he had become bitter because he felt as though, why would God allow all these bad things to happen? And sometimes many of us, when we go through bad things, maybe when we're not where we want to be at in life, maybe by a certain age, we had a goal to be here. But you realize as that age is coming, or as it's already come and passed, you haven't reached where you wanted to get to. Many of us become bitter towards God. We turn away from him. We stop praying. We stop having our quiet time. We even stop going to church. And I want to encourage you today that you have to be able to forgive God. Jesus Christ forgave God. He prayed three times that this experience, he didn't want to suffer. But in the end, he forgave God. And we must be able to forgive God, right? Last week, we read a verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, that says, you know, after you have suffered for a while, the Lord your God will establish you. So I just want to encourage whoever may be listening and whoever may be going through something that, you know, if you are suffering today, it is not going to be suffering forever. If you are going through a negative experience today or a down season in your life today, it will not always be that way. God has not left you. God has not forsaken you. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 that God has a plan for us. He has plans for a hope and a future. So I want to encourage you to forgive God, forgive the mistake, forgive the things you may feel he's allowed to happen that he shouldn't have allowed to happen. Forgive him. Amen. The second type of person that Jesus forgave that we must forgive is Peter, right? You must forgive your Peter. Peter was the person who had fallen asleep in this scripture or in this section here. Peter was the person who had fallen asleep. Peter was very close to Jesus. You must forgive someone who is very close to you, your siblings, your parents, maybe a very close friend that you would almost consider a sibling. You know, if you are married, your husband or wife, if you're not married, maybe somebody you're in a relationship with. You know, I saw something that recently that said that the key to a long-lasting relationship that will lead to marriage is forgiveness. Yeah, so you must be able to forgive the person that is the closest to you. And Peter was very close with Jesus. Luke 22 and verse 33, please. Luke 22 and verse 33. Luke 22, verse 33. So this is Peter talking to Jesus, right? This is Peter talking to Jesus. For those of you who don't know who Peter is in the Bible, Peter is the person who denied Jesus three times. Actually, let's read that. Peter denying Jesus three times. Luke 22, sorry, 56. Luke 22 to verse 56. A servant girl. So as Jesus had been arrested and as they were carrying him to the cross, or as they had nailed him to the cross and taking him away, the disciples were just there. They were just watching this whole thing happen. The people who had been closest to Jesus were just watching this experience. And a servant, the Bible says in Luke 22, that a servant girl saw him seated there, saw Peter, that's the him, saw him seated there in firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." So a servant girl looked at Peter and said, "This man was with Jesus." Verse 57. But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. Wow. So he denied him two times, once to a little girl and once to someone else. Next verse, please. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Next verse, please. Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you are talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Wow, verse 61. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you would disown me three times." And verse 62. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Amen. So Peter disowned Jesus Christ three times. He denied that he even knew him three separate times. And Jesus told him, "You will deny me. You will deny me." And Jesus came back and forgave him. Luke 22, verse 33, please. The Bible says, Luke 22 and verse 33. It says that, but he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." This is the way Peter spoke about Jesus. He said this to Jesus before the incident happened where he denied him three times. So before he denied him three times, he said, but he replied, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." Be careful of people who are so committed to you. Yeah, be careful of anybody who tells you things like, "I'm with you unto death," or "I'm with you to prison and to death." Be very afraid of those type of people. They are so committed. I mean, you should like having somebody who is committed with you, but always be watchful of them, because you never know. People can just talk. And people can just say words, but actions are louder than words. When the time came for Peter to be with Jesus, as he said, when it was a time, you know, I have a friend who always says this thing. She always says, "Let your yea be your yea and your no be your no." You know, as Peter said his yea here, and as he said, "I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." When the time came for him to go with Jesus to death. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this man. Amen. So, but Jesus still came back and forgave him even after this experience. Matthew 16 and verse 16. Matthew 16, verse 16, please. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Once again, another strong thing that Peter said about Jesus. I mean, people were denying who Jesus was. People were denying if Jesus was truly the Son of God. Peter was strong to believe that, yes, he is really, really, really the Son of God. But when the time came, he denied him. He wasn't able to back up his words. So I want to encourage us to forgive the people closest to us as Jesus forgave Peter. The next person that you must forgive is your disciples, right? The people who maybe are not as close, right? But they're around you, your friends, people in the church with you, right? As we are all in the church, as we all know people in the church, many people leave the church because they are offended. But you have to be able to forgive your disciples, the people who are around, the people who offend you, right? You know, I hear a statement a lot of times that says that you can, I think the statement goes, it says, people say this all the time. The statement I think is, I can forgive you, but I don't need to be as close with you again. I agree with that statement that you can forgive somebody and you don't need to have the same relationship that you had with them. I can understand that. But I think you have to always check yourself, right? Many people lie to themselves. Many people are not honest with themselves. Many people tell themselves false stories. A lot of times when people stop having the same relationship, it's out of bitterness. So be honest with yourself. Yes, you can forgive somebody and not have the same relationship with them anymore. But always ask yourself, is this really that I don't want to be close with them anymore, or am I still hurt? Am I still bitter? Have I really forgiven? Right? You know, I think those are things that are important to ask yourself, right? Self-analyzation, right? Self-analysis. Do a self-analysis on your heart and ask yourself, are you really forgiving people? You know, when you are just distancing yourself from everyone, you are just removing yourself from everyone and you are just staying in your corner, you are staying back. It's like, it's just you and your God. When it's just between you and your God and you are just standing back and you are just there in your own little world, in your own little corner, are you really forgiving people when they make a mistake or when they offend you? Are you really forgiving people? You know, the next type of person that you must forgive is common people, right? Common people means that people who are out there, people who you may not know, people who don't have a relationship with, but they do something that offends you, or they say something that offends you, or in our country today, in our world today, many people are having a lot of times forgiving people of the opposite race. So Black people, many Black people have now built a disdain for white people through social media or through news. No personal interaction or no personal experience with racism or with some sort of injustice themselves, but they've actually built a hatred for white people, right? And it's vice versa as well. Maybe the white people have also built a hatred for us or for Black people as well. But this thing that has happened, you know, most of us, we don't know them, right? Like you don't know all white people in the world. So they're common people. They're just people who are out there. And you have to be able to forgive them. Forgive them when you hear that, oh, this white person has done this. Forgive them. Don't just say, okay, well, now all white people are the same. So because I've seen this white person who's done this thing on Instagram, or I've heard about this Asian person doing something on Instagram. Now, when I go out to the grocery store and I see an Asian person and I'm in line at the grocery store and I have a shopping cart full of things and he's holding a gallon of milk, I'm not going to give him the pass to go in front of me because he's white. And because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to carry that kind of hatred in your heart against people who you don't know. And Jesus Christ forgave people who he didn't know, people who he had never met. The Bible says that when Jesus was on the cross, there were two thieves next to him, also on crosses. Luke 23, verse 32. Two thieves were next to him, also on crosses. And, you know, Jesus Christ was able to forgive them as well. One of them, actually, Luke 23, as we move through the service. Luke 23, verse 32. When they came to the, yes, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. So they were all going to die. Three people, Jesus and two criminals. Verse 33. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Wow, verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided his clothes by casting lots. So Jesus, he's on the cross. He's being nailed to the cross. And he's saying, forgive them. Forgive these people who I don't know, because they don't know what they're actually doing. Verse 35. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. I mean, they're mocking him now. Verse 36. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. All of this is happening. His hands and feet are nailed to a cross. Verse 38. So just imagine the experience of the pain he's going through. There was a written notice above him, which is read, this is the king of the Jews. Verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us. Verse 40. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. Verse 41. We are punished justly for we are getting what our deeds deserve. This man has done nothing wrong. Wow, this is the other thief, criminal talking in verse 42. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This is happening on the cross. Verse 43. Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen. So Jesus forgave a thief, a criminal, someone who he had no recollection of who he was. He forgave him right there on the cross. And the guy, the thief himself, he knew that what he was getting, that the fact that he was dying, if you go back to, I think, verse 42 or 41, he says that we are getting what our deeds deserve. Like, we are getting what we deserve because of what we've done. We are getting what we deserve. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the wages of sin is death. You know, he believed that what he was getting, that what he was about to experience was what he deserved for what he had done. But Jesus had mercy on him. And many of us, what we deserve, based on our deeds, based on the things we've done, based on the mistakes that we've made, based on the times we've sinned and we knew that we shouldn't be doing this, is death, is actual death. We deserve something that we are not going to get, because Jesus had the same mercy he had on this thief. He also had it on us. Amen. The next type of person that Jesus forgave, that you must forgive, is the wicked soldiers, wicked people in your life. Right? Luke 23:60 and verse 63. Many people are wicked. I'm sure we all know many wicked people, people who are wicked unknowingly, people who are wicked knowingly, who want to be wicked. Jesus went through this experience. And, you know, as I was reading these verses, I myself was even thinking, wow, he really suffered. Like, these people really went out of their way to humiliate, to embarrass him, to mock him. Luke 22:63 says that the men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. Verse 64. They blindfolded him and demanded, prophesy, who hit you? Wow. And verse 65. And they said many other insulting things to him. Amen. So when you are insulted, when you are dealing with a wicked person, you know, remember to forgive them. Remember to forgive somebody who is insulting. Remember to forgive somebody who has hurt you. Remember to forgive the people who you know who have hurt you. You know, bitterness is something I've seen that can change many people. It can change how they relate with their parents. It can change how they relate with their friends. It can change how they relate in their relationship. It can change many things. And I want to encourage us, you know, to forgive the people in our lives who have been wicked to us, whether knowingly or unknowingly. You know, I'm sure many of us have heard this statement before that says, hurt people hurts people. And, you know, I personally think it's very true that people who are hurt, as they are going through the hurt, they are making decisions, they are living life, but they are hurt. And they are making many mistakes, and they are hurting many, many people along the path. Some people, maybe even some of us here today in church, our parents are the ones who have hurt us. Our parents are the ones who maybe we are bitter against. Our parents are the ones who maybe were not there for us the way we would have liked. Or maybe we did not talk to us enough, did not ask us how we're feeling enough, did not help us enough. And many people, not even just us here, but many people are struggling to forgive their parents. And I saw something recently that said, and this is something that, I think I personally have tried to do, but I want to encourage all of us to do. I saw something recently that said that, when you accept that your parents did the best that they could based on how they were programmed, it is a lot easier to forgive them. And I believe it's very true. When we accept that our parents, they did the best that they could with the resources that they had, with the knowledge that they had, with the understanding that they had, don't assume that they have the same level of understanding that you may have now, right? Don't assume that at all. Many times I've tried my best to even analyze certain things that my parents have done or my parents have said, and I give them grace because I know that they were doing the best with what they had, with how they were programmed, with their resources or their experiences. I know that they were doing the best that they could. So I want to encourage us that whoever is the person in our lives that we haven't been able to forgive, find the courage to forgive them, find the courage to extend them grace, because the Bible says that if you do not forgive, you will not be able to be forgiven. So I want to encourage us to be able to receive our blessings. Allow yourself to be blessed by forgiving. Amen. The last person that you must forgive is your religious leaders, right? Your pastors, your churches, the shepherds, even me, right? You must forgive me. As we've all come to church, as we are all listening to messages, as we're all being blessed in church and all of that, we, at the end of the day, the church is a human institution, right? We are all human. We are all imperfect. We're all learning. We're all learning as we go. I am learning. So forgive me if I've hurt you. Forgive your religious leaders. Forgive the church. Maybe you've gone to a church in the past and you had a terrible experience. I know people who've gone to churches and there was a lot of gossip and backbiting and a lot of just bad things going on. You have to forgive. Don't say that all churches are the same. Don't say that, every church, when you pay your offering and you pay your tithes, they use your money. No. Don't think that way. Don't allow yourself, because what you actually do then is you block yourself from being blessed, right? You block, recently I was having a conversation with someone and they were telling me that, that they pay their tithes to the church that they believe in, right? That is where they pay their tithes, is to the place that they believe in, because in the past they've had bad experiences with giving money to a church. So I encourage the person that, yeah, I believe you should pay your tithes to where you are believed, or where you believe in the church, where you believe in what is happening. That is when you will be blessed. So I want to encourage us to forgive our religious leaders. Luke 23 and verse 10, please. Luke 23 verse 10, as we close. The chief priest, right? The people who are leading us, leading our churches, our shepherds, even Bishop Henry, forgive us. Some time ago, I had me personally, in First Life Church Delaware, I had a very negative experience. I invited some people to come and to listen to Bishop Henry on an impartation service. For those of you who don't know, we have impartation service every Tuesday night with Bishop Henry. And I invited a group of some people to come and listen to him. I believe it was around last year in the springtime. I invited a group of people to come and join us for impartation. And as they were listening to impartation, I had no idea. I thought the message was great. I didn't have a problem with the message. They were listening to the message and they were just becoming offended, like to the point where one of them sent me a list of notes she had taken in her phone, not notes on the points of the preaching, notes of all the quotes Bishop Henry made that offended her or that bothered her the wrong way, and confronted me after impartation service to show me the notes and to ask me, how can I explain that he said X, Y, and Z? I mean, serious. Like, you have, but, and I didn't even have a explanation for her. I didn't have an answer for her. You know, I'm not Bishop Henry, so I couldn't give her an answer. What I could encourage her to do is to forgive, him if he is, if he said something that's wrong, right? Forgive him. Luke 23, verse 10, it says that the chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there vehemently accusing him. Verse 11. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressing him in an elegant robe. They sent him back to Pilate. Verse 12. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Verse 13. Herod and Pilate are also leaders of the Jews. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people. Verse 14. And said to them, you brought me this man. The man he's talking about is Jesus. He said that you brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charge against him. Next verse. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. So the people who were at the highest, Pilate and Herod, did not want to kill Jesus. Verse 16, please. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him. But the crowd shouted, away with this man, release Barabbas to us. So they had two choices. They had a choice to either just punish Jesus, keep him alive and release him, and then kill another criminal or another person who they thought was a criminal named Barabbas. And the Jewish leaders, the chief priests, the pastors of the church said, no, release Barabbas to us, but kill Jesus. Verse 19. Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. So Barabbas was in prison for murder. Verse 20. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again. If you continue to read this story, the chief priest emphasized, he stressed to them, the chief priest, the pastors, the people who were leading the church, stressed and said that, no, we want to kill Jesus. This is the one that we want to kill. They were making a mistake, but Jesus came and forgave them. So you also have to be forgiven. It's actually quite interesting for those of you who are into history and things like that. If you continue to read this story, the chief priests, so these were the chief priests of the Jews at the time, right? For those of you who are into history, one of the statements that the chief priest made in the Bible, if you continue to read in Luke 23, one of the statements that they made was, they said it to Pontius Pilate. They said, you know, Pontius couldn't find anything wrong with Jesus Christ and he didn't want to kill him. But the people were giving him such pressure that he called. You're reading the Bible in Luke 23. You should read it tonight or tomorrow for your quiet time. He called for a bowl of water and soap. And the Bible actually describes it as water and soap. He called for a bowl of water and soap and washed his hands. And after he washed his hands, he told the people, the Jewish pastors and priests, that his blood is no longer on my hands. And then the chief priest and the leaders of the Jews at the time said, that's okay. His blood will be on our heads and on our children's heads. Wow. So for a lot of you who are into history and theology, a lot of people believe that that statement that the Jews made when the Jews said that his blood will be on our heads. If you are into history, in World War II with the Holocaust, when I believe it was over 4 million Jews were attacked and killed. A lot of people believe that that happened, that took place because of that statement that they made. When they went and said that, you know, the blood of Jesus is okay, Pilate, it will be on our heads and on our children's head. There are a lot of Bible theologists believe, you know, it's up for opinion. But a lot of them believe that what happened during the Holocaust and that attack on them was linked to that statement that they made when they said that his blood would be on our head. And I remember the first time I read it, I thought to myself, oh, but why would they say our children's heads? Like, why were they so confident to the point that they put it also on their children? So it's just something to think about for those of you who are into history. It's a blessing. It's a revelation for those of you who are into history. Amen. I just want to encourage us, 7 types of people you must forgive. For those of you who've been taking notes, number 1 is God. Number 2 is your Peter. Number 3 is your disciples. Number 4 is common people. Number 5, sorry, number, yeah, sorry, I think it's number six actually is the wicked soldiers. And lastly is the religious leaders. Amen. So let's just bow our head, close our eyes, have a quick word of prayer. You know, pray for yourself, pray for your heart that you can forgive others. Pray that you'll be able to forgive others. Pray that you'll be able to forgive those who've hurt you. Pray that you will not hold grudges against the people who are closest to you. Pray that you will not hold grudges against people who you may not even know. Open up your mouth, lift up your voice wherever you may be, and just pray for yourself for 2 minutes. Pray for yourself and ask God to help you to become a more forgiving person. Father, I thank you for this time in your presence. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us 2,000 years ago. Lord, I thank you for this great, great, great opportunity to come and be blessed. I thank you, Lord, for the price you paid for us, oh God, the mercy and the grace you've shown us, the forgiveness that you showed us, Lord. I thank you for what you are doing in our lives. Lord, I pray, God, for anyone on this meeting who is holding a grudge in their heart, who is struggling with unforgiveness, I pray, God, that you will give them the strength and the grace to release it. Release whatever has hurt them, oh Lord. Release whatever hurt they may be suppressing and pushing down. Help them, oh Lord, to overcome it so that they may be forgiven truly from you. Lord, I thank you for what you are doing for us and in our lives, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.